I really do appreciate that, because I was really struggling knowing that we're going to take that. How are you going to bring that in a very positive way? All we have heard so far, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And it comes out absolutely negative. But that's what really helped me, and I was thinking about it. Who was the first person that was called Nazarite in the scripture? Or separated? The one who was separated from his brethren. Genesis 49. Come on.
Joseph.
Now, is there anything negative about Joseph? He is a Nazarite. Anything negative? He is a wonderful, wonderful character. And he was called Nazarite. He was separated. You don't see anything negative there as you look at his life, generally speaking. Wonderful life of devotion and love for God. When sin was throwing itself on him, he would not even come near it. He would run away from it and suffer for it. That is a Nazarite. It is completely a positive thing. But how do you get to that level? Look at the athletes that train for certain sports. They might not have to eat certain food or drink some sugary, watery drink that you drink and that you enjoy. They might eat not junk food because they have to exercise in a certain way. Now, when they get the gold medal, you don't really read about that they weren't drinking Coke for a year and they didn't, they slept for a certain amount of time and they ate certain food in the morning and they weren't eating pizza or hamburger, for all of that time. You don't read about that. But these people who were trained for that have done that day in and day out. They will go out with their friends, but they cannot stay up the whole night. They have to go to bed at a certain time. They will go out with their friends and they would not drink certain things or eat certain things. And it seems like it's really hard. They have some kind of, I think, Tim, you said it earlier about denying oneself. But you don't read about that. You read about the gold medal. You read about the record that they have broken. And that is the same thing here. There is something going on behind the scene with conviction and heart. Because a person that is going to run a marathon or doing anything, nobody told him you have to do that. He is doing that because he wanted to do it. And that's the same thing with a Nazarite. I wanted to be a Nazarite. It's not because we sat here and he said, well, I have to be a Nazarite. No, I wanted to be a Nazarite. I'd love to be a Nazarite for the Lord. And I know what's awaiting me. So it's worth it. It's not like now I'm going to take away something. No, it is worth it. It is worth it not to eat junk food. It is worth it to kind of get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and run for 6 miles. I mean, I want to be in bed. Or going to swim, for a couple of laps early in the morning. Or whatever sports or anything. Look, let me put it this way. God's Navy SEALs are the Nazarite. Those are the Navy SEALs that God has. Just keep that in mind. You're looking for something worth it? Talking about training and denying oneself? Well, these guys, if you read what they do, they do. But you know what? If the government wants to send somebody to do something that's impossible, who do they send? They don't send me that doesn't want to get up in the morning and doesn't want to run. They send these people. And guess what? They go and they get whoever they wanted to get and get out alive. If you want to be used of God, it is worth it to be a Nazarite, to be God's Navy SEAL. So it is positive. It is very, very positive, because the first Nazarite was Joseph.
I want to read just two verses from Philippians 3 that I think tie very nicely into what you've been saying, Brother Emil and Brother John. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He was a man who, as you said, he had the liberty to eat what any other athlete or any other person wanted to eat, but he had a goal that was before him, Christ. And as Brother Joey was saying here, that it is the holiness of God. We sometimes don't put this out enough before us to say, as believers, It is a wonderful thing for us to be clean vessels as young people, to have a desire to, as the Lord says, be holy as I am holy. He's not saying this just because he wants to put some words here, but because he's given to us the Spirit of God, we can have, young people, clean vessels. We can have bodies that are set apart to God, that are holy as he is, that when others look at us, they say, that's a young man, that's a young lady who is devoted to Christ. And Paul says, anything that that was gained to him, he says, I don't want that. What I want is to be a clean vessel, a vessel that is separated unto God, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And when you were speaking, Emil, I was saying to myself, you know, when we talk about the positive line, and it's so much that's needed, why is it that the Spirit of God talks about this other, you know, opens up these other things? It is because, unlike the true Nazarite, the Lord, who could look at Peter and see and listen to what Peter was saying, but say, get thee behind me, Satan, we don't have the ability to see in that way. So he says, hear dead things that are around you. And if you don't know that that defiles you, I want to tell you that it does. Because what happens, young people, we can become desensitized to the dead things and the defilement of these dead things upon us if we aren't sensitized to the fact that that thing is going to defile me. Oh, we all want to be holy. But we say, oh, you know, what's... And this is what we're going to see with Samson. I'm not drinking the wine. I'm just standing here in the vineyard. But then you look at the end of Samson's life, and you go back and you saw at the beginning, where was that man? A Nazarite? He's got a vineyard? You know, it's like somebody that's against guns, and you go to his house, he's got a gun rack. It just doesn't go together. So as a believer, if we say, oh, we have a desire to be holy, well, I can't listen to lyrics that are filthy. I can't watch things. You know, brothers used to say to us when we were teenagers, don't laugh at sin. I've never forgotten it. You know, you turn on a TV show and there's some comedy or your friends at school and they have some joke. And you sit and you know it's filthiness or it's defiling and you laugh. You're laughing at sin. And then what happens is you become desensitized. And so it goes from some little joke like that to something else. And so that's why the Lord puts these things down, so that we who are limited by our frame, our humanness, our sin nature, that we might know that there is a very positive element that's placed before us, the Lord himself, the holiness of God, that we have to have a desire for, and that we can be that. But we are to be that in light of the fact that we can recognize things that are dead things.
I think that what we really need to look at is the Lord Jesus, because it was for the joy set before him that he endured. Yeah. And I think that it is very easy to look at chapter 6 in a negative way, but I think what the Lord is doing with this chapter is he's showing us that Christianity, to quote Uncle Emil, isn't for wimps. It's a serious, serious thing, and there are serious challenges. It's not something to be entered into lightly. It is something that requires, it's a full-time job. It can't require half of ourselves. It requires everything we have to give it. It requires thought and carefulness with every step that we take. It requires a constant thought to our public testimony, our private testimony, everything we do. My Christianity has to be in the forefront. So it's something that can't be entered into with half a thought or half a mind. It has to be the overwhelming desire and purpose of my life. It can't be entered into lightly. And if you look at the Lord Jesus, he always had set before him what was coming. The Father's house, the joy that was set before him, the day that we will be with him, that is what was at the forefront. So everything he had to deny himself, all the hardships, it was nothing for the joy that was set before him. Mm.